Well, it is an honor to be back at Bethel. I appreciate this privilege once again, and what a blessing. I thought as I was coming over here, I said I've preached through the entire pandemic over here in revival, and I was thinking about that drive-in service we had. I guess that was in early in 2020, wasn't it? I guess, and weather forced us inside. But you know, the Lord helped us that week in those days. And I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate the singing tonight. All of it's been good. These young folks that sang, and then the Edwards family are just dear, dear people to me. I know a lot of singing groups. I know a lot of them, but there ain't none of them I got any more confidence in than the Edwards family. And I appreciate them so much. They've been dear friends, and I thank the Lord for that. When God sends friends into your life, in your Christian life, that's a treasure. That's something you ought not take lightly, you ought not take it for granted. Our lives are enriched by God's people that He brings into our life. I mean, if I think about that, my life's been enriched by the folks here in this church. Because I've come over here now long enough, I know some of you by name, and even though some is as aggravating as Tony is over here, I like to aggravate Brother Tony. I appreciate the Lord helping us. I've been in a lot of meetings this year already, been covering a lot of ground, and so you pray for me tonight. I'm glad to see Brother David Montgomery, one of my dear friend. That's another dear friend in the ministry God has given me fellowship with, and I appreciate Brother David and the work that he's done and is doing. I don't have to tell you, we need each other. And we're going to need each other more than we ever have in the days ahead. I feel sometimes we have gotten so in our churches, we kind of get in our little group and our little. I told them over at the church here a while back, I said, I wish we hadn't built doors on both sides of this place. I wish we could have had to funnel them all out the same place so that this side would have to talk to this side every now and then. And sometimes that's just the way it is. But I tell you, we need each other more than we ever have. And we need help from God. As my old preacher friend, Brother Ken Bowman, would say, we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost in our services. I fear that we've learned some things through all these difficulties. We found out that our routine wasn't where it was at. Matter of fact, our routine sometimes took all the passion out of us. We felt like if we'd fulfill our routine, that somehow or another that's pleasing to God. But God's interested in some real. He's not so much interested in our routine, but He's interested in real. And I don't know about you, but when I come to church, we're too late in this thing now not to get the most out of it that we can get. I mean, we can't waste one service in these days. And I'm glad that God will help us, and I believe He'll help us in these days. And I want to give you a simple thought tonight, Luke chapter 24. Just a very simplistic outline that I'm preaching tonight, but I really believe this is what the Lord wants me to give you tonight. Luke chapter number 24. And I want to start reading in verse number 13. You'll find in Luke chapter 24 where you find this chapter dealing with Resurrection Day. You'll find in the first part of the chapter that the women have already been to the tomb and they found it empty. And the Bible said they were perplexed by what they saw. And then you find they went back and told the 11, and Peter and John went down there, and Peter, when he came out, he was wondering about what had happened. And here they are. You think about all the things that had transpired. These people had seen Jesus. They had walked with Him. They had watched him be crucified and they had watched him die. They had watched him be buried. And now their hearts are so heavy and they don't understand all that's gone on. Matter of fact, even some said, we thought he was going to come to redeem Israel. And now here it seems like it's all been in vain on this day. But here in verse 13, we come up on two more of his followers. And the Bible says this, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help me and enable me tonight to bring this thought that you would have for this moment in time. Father, I pray whatever the need might be in the hearts of someone here tonight, I pray, God, would you meet it, Lord? I don't have the ability to meet it tonight, but God, you do. And I ask you, Father, that you would help us all now tonight, that we may sense your presence, Lord, your nearness. I pray, God, would you just do that only you can do. And Father, we give you praise for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray and we ask it tonight. Amen and amen. Here in the scene, we find these two followers of Jesus. As I've already said, it is a day now they're trying to figure out everything. The word the Bible uses concerning the women at the tomb, they were perplexed is the word that it uses. The Bible says that Peter went to the tomb and he left wondering. And here they even said, we were astonished. And so there's a varying array of emotions that they're feeling. They don't for sure know exactly what has happened. They know that the Savior's body is gone from the tomb. And the Bible describes it like this. As they're walking along, they're talking, and Jesus drew near And what he said to them is what I really want to focus on tonight. What he said to them there in verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk? And I want you to notice these words, and are sad. Right. Here is two followers of Christ that are in such a state of mind that it is easy to perceive just by looking at them that there's a sadness that has gripped their heart. They don't understand. They've already witnessed the death of the Savior. They've already witnessed his crucifixion. They've witnessed all of these things, and now they're gripped with the confusion because now it's a day, and in their minds, this is a dark day. They thought, well, we've got closure. We saw him buried, and now we don't even understand what has happened now. And they're walking, they're reasoning among themselves. Have you ever been trying to figure things out? Sometimes things happen in such a way in our lives that we spend a lot of our time just trying to figure out why it happened that way, what was going on, and what was God doing in the middle of it. And here are two disciples that are walking, and they are visibly sad as they're walking. This is a dark day in their life. And I began to think about that, and I'm preaching on this subject tonight on the sadness of dark days. I don't have to tell you tonight that we are in dark days in our land. Matter of fact, there's a time like I've not witnessed in my adult life. I look around and you see people and you see a visible sadness many times. Sometimes you look and you see confusion. We see even anger in our day. I was coming over here tonight and I stopped at a place up there, and I'm going to be honest with you. Church, we have got the greatest opportunity right now to witness to people that we've ever had. Because let me tell you something, you don't have to strike up a conversation now. They're going to do it. They're going to do it at the gas pump. They're going to do it in the restaurant. I was sitting up there, and there's an old boy, only two of us in the place. I stopped up at the McDonald's, and I was sitting there. This old boy is sitting over there by himself. A few minutes, he began to talk to me at a distance. And he started on all these things that's going on, and boy, you could tell he was fuming about it. And I went over and began to talk to him a little bit, and I said, well, I'm in agreement with you, man. I agree with you. And we began to talk a little longer, And he said, what do you do for a living? He used some colorful language. Some of those words. Now listen, I know y'all are saved and sanctified. It's been a long time since you used words like that. But if gas goes higher, it'll come back to you real quick. I mean, you'll remember how to use them words. I mean, it's been a long time. And you think they're gone forever. You let that pump go to rolling up there a little bit, and it'll come back to you. It'll be fresh in your mind. And this old boy, he'd done used some colorful language that you wouldn't use around a preacher, and he was talking to me, and finally he said, what do you do for a living? I said, you don't want to know. He said, what do you do? I said, guess. He sat there, and he looked at me. He said, insurance salesman. I said, well, that's a pretty good guess. He could tell I wasn't a banker. But I had a necktie on. I said, I'm a pastor. And after he'd just been cussing a blue oath, he said, well, God bless you. I said, but here's what I'm saying. The opportunity. The old boy got talking. He said, I bet you're a Baptist. I said, I sure am. He said, I don't believe in organized religion. He said, my daddy had a brother that was a Baptist preacher, and he was a scoundrel. Turned me against organized religion. I said, just because he is like that don't mean we all are. And I stood there and I talked to this man, and I made a friendship with him. And I said, he asked me where my church was at, and I told him, I said, you ought to come to my church one Sunday morning. I'll change your mind about Baptists. Baptist. Amen. And the old boy said, you know why? He said, well, I believe in God. I said, yeah, I understand you probably do. But I said, the Bible says you must be born again. He said, well, I've been baptized. I said, and that's wonderful. That's fine. But I said, the Bible says you must be born again. I said, it's not about what we've done, but it's about what Jesus has done, and he wants to give us, amen. And that old boy, by the time I left there, that old boy, I said, listen, look me up on YouTube. You can find where I've been in revival meetings. He's sitting there, and the old boy's whole demeanor had changed. I went out. I came back from my truck. I brought one of our family CDs in. I said, you got a CD player? His name was Rick. I said, Rick, you got a CD player? He said, I do. I said, here. He said, oh, let me pay you for that. I said, no, sir, that's my gift to you. And that old boy's gone home now. And that old boy is mad at the world. He's mad about this. He's mad about that. And he run into a preacher. And now he's listening to gospel music tonight. And you can't never tell what God might do in his heart. And every one of us are going to have opportunities just like that in this day. Oh, it's easy to get mad about everything. It's easy to be sad about everything. But I'll tell you what we need to do. Use it as an opportunity to reach people in a dark day. These disciples, they're walking and they're sad. I'm going to give you four things on how to make it through the darkness of a sad day. Jesus gave us an example in this scripture here of four things that you need to remind yourself of when you find yourself in the midst of the sadness of a dark day. Number one, remember this. Whenever your heart's overwhelmed, when you're confused, you don't know what to do, you don't know why it's happening like this, you don't know how it's going to end up, just remember this, Jesus is watching. The Bible said these men are on their way to Emmaus. They're reasoning one with another. They're talking. They're consumed in the conversation with each other, and they don't even recognize this, but Jesus is watching them. And the Bible said Jesus drew near unto them, and they didn't even realize who it was because their eyes were holding. I'm going to tell you, this is a simplistic point tonight, but if you wrap your head around it and you find yourself out there getting so discouraged by the circumstances you find yourself in, it'll bring great comfort to know this, that the God of glory is watching. He knows what you're going through. He knows how you feel. He knows what's going on around you. I'm glad he's able, hallelujah. His eyes are upon his children. The Bible tells us the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears open unto their cry. I don't care how low your valley is. I don't care how dark the clouds may be that's suffocating you and drawing the breath out of you. There's a God that's got his eyes on you and he's concerned about you tonight. Hallelujah to his name. He's watching you tonight. I like it. I read it in the Bible. Over there, the Israelites are crossing the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army's in pursuit. And the Bible said that God looked down through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. He not only saw the Israelites, but he saw Pharaoh's army too. Amen. And the Bible said that he took off the chariot wheels of Pharaoh's army in the middle of the Red Sea. I'm talking about that's impressive right there to me. Them NASCAR fellas, they'll bring a car into the pits, jack it up, change all four tires, put some gas in it and wipe the windshield, and that's impressive. But I'm going to tell you what's really impressive, that we serve a God that's watching his children and watching the enemy, and he's able to jack up the armies of Pharaoh. I'm glad he's able to take care of the enemy. I'm glad he's able to meet every need you have, all because his eyes are upon his children tonight. I was driving to a meeting some time back, and I got a phone call. Of course, I took it on my truck phone so I didn't have to, I could keep driving and talking. And it was a preacher, I've never met this preacher, from Missouri, Brother Ken Graham, pastor of a tremendous church out there for 40 years. He's now stepped aside, and his son has taken the church. But Brother Graham had a 40-year ministry there, just a tremendous church.
Brother Graham, how I know him was several years ago. He called me. It was after the Inspirations had recorded my song, I Found a Faithful Friend. And Brother Graham got my number from them, and he called me and said, "Preacher, I just want you to know this song means so much to me. And me and my wife are wanting to make a CD, and we was wondering if you'd care if we'd record it." I said, "I'd be honored if you would." And him and his wife made a CD. He sent me one of them. Just him and his wife singing. He preaches a few revivals and different things. And he said, "Preacher, that song has been a tremendous blessing." Hadn't heard from him probably in 2 years. And all of a sudden, I was driving to a meeting, and my phone rang, and it was Ken Graham on there. And I thought, "Why? I need to take this, see what Preacher Graham wants." Never met this man from Missouri. And I answered the phone. He said, "Brother Fletcher, are you where you can talk?" I said, "Well, I'm on the road driving, but I'm hands-free, so I can talk." He said, "Well, I need to call you and relay a message to you. A preacher friend of mine told me to relay this message to you because he knew that I knew you and he didn't know you." And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I've got a preacher friend out here in Missouri, pastors a country church." And he said, "It's not a large church, but just a country church, tight-knit church." And he said, "I've preached there for him. I've sang there. Me and my wife have." And said, "We've just been friends with this preacher for many, many years." And he said, we sang your song at their church. And he said, sometime back during this pandemic, said the preacher came down and he got COVID. He said he was pretty bad it took him like 2 months to get recovered, and he still wasn't fully recovered, but he called his pastor friend and he told him this story. He said, "I was just recovering from COVID. I hadn't been able to go back to the church yet." And in their church, he said, we had a young couple in our church that's precious young people that had gotten married. They'd been married about a year. Just a precious couple in the church that worked in the church, and everybody loved this young couple in the church. But he said, this young couple's house caught fire and said they were trapped in it. And said the young man died in the fire, and said his wife was just clinging to life at the time he spoke to me in the ICU, just barely clinging to life herself. And he said, "Preacher, I was so overwhelmed. I was just recovering from COVID." And he said, "This devastated our church." He said, "I thought, what are we going to do? How am I going to do this?" He said, "I knew I needed to be at church that Sunday morning, even though I still wasn't 100% physically." He said, "I knew I had to be there." And he said, "I walked in the doors of our little church that day and said, I just saw a people sad and brokenhearted." He said, "They're just everybody there just broken." So I didn't even know what to do. How are we going to have service today? I mean, it's like our heart's been ripped out in our church here. These young people that we love, it's such a tragedy. And said, all of a sudden, there was a couple in that church said, "Preacher, I feel like the Lord wants us to sing a song." And they got up that day and they sang my song, "I Found a Faithful Friend." When the hurt goes deeper than the deepest place your heart has ever known, when you're standing in your darkest trial and it seems as though you're standing all alone, when the tears fall down like bitter rain and you're wondering if the sun will shine again, in the midst of disappointment, look around, you'll find a faithful friend. He's walked through my darkest valley, shining light upon the lily by the way. He has picked me up and held me when I thought I could not face another day. And when my heart had stopped its singing and my mind was simply searching for an end, I can tell you by experience, I found a faithful friend." He said, "My preacher friend said to tell you this, Brother Leonard." He said, "That day," he said, "I've never witnessed the power of God in a service like came in our service that day." And he said, "I watched God take his big arms of love and wrap them around a little congregation and love their hurt away." Can I say to you, no matter what you're going through, what you're facing, Jesus is watching. Number two, remember this. When you're in the sadness of dark days, he's not only watching, but he's walking. Now, if you look in Job chapter 1, when Satan came, presented himself, he said, where you been? He said, been walking to and fro and up and down in the earth. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if the only one that's doing any walking around here was Satan?
Right. Amen. Good. Yeah. Good. Amen.
But you see, that day, as they're walking on the road and their hearts are so sad, the Bible says this, this ought to cheer you up tonight. This ought to put some lead in your pencil tonight.
Amen.
This ought to help you tonight. Jesus drew near to them.
Amen.
I know the Bible says draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. There's been some times I've been so confused I couldn't draw nigh to him. There's been some times I've been in such a fog of mind that I didn't even know where he was at. But I'm glad, praise God, whenever I'm overwhelmed and the darkness and the sadness of the day has come upon me, I'm glad there's a God that draws near to me. Hallelujah. They didn't even recognize him. Sometimes he's near us and we don't even see him. Amen. We don't even know it's him, but hallelujah. I'm glad he's a God that's walking tonight. Hallelujah to his name. I think about that old song, God walks the dark hills. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that he is a God that's walking? Oh, I don't know about you. When I think about this story, here's these disciples. They're on the road there to Emmaus, and all of a sudden here comes Jesus, and he's walking to where they're at. I thought about this. There's been a lot of days that I have walked with him. But sadly, there's been a lot of days in my life, even since I got saved, that I wasn't walking with him. I decided to take my own path. I decided to go my own direction. I wasn't walking with him. But since I've been saved, there ain't never been a day he ain't been walking with me. You see, they weren't walking with him. He was walking with them. Man, I don't know if you get a hold of that tomorrow, you'll go out in the backyard and you'll go to shaking hands with the bushes, praise God. You'll say, hallelujah. Oh, isn't it good to know that he's a Savior that walks with us. Hallelujah to his name. He'll go with us in the sadness of dark days. He was watching and he was walking. And then number three, he was working. What in the world was he doing, preacher? Well, if you go on down there in the story, when they got to where they was going and they got in there, and after all everything's transpired, then them boys by their own confession says, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked and talked with him by the way? In other words, while he was watching and walking, he was a working in them. You know, I've wondered how many people during all this crazy stuff we're going through, has God been working in them? You may not see so much of it on the outside, but God's been a working in them. I've got a first cousin. She's a little younger than me. Her name's Sandra. I hadn't seen Sandra in several years. And if I describe my cousin to you, she's had a hard way in life. And because of that, she's just a hard person. You never saw her with a smile on her face. You never saw any joy. Matter of fact, even me being her first cousin, if I'd see her and I'd speak to her, it's just an old gruff answer. And now don't get too down on people like that. Because sometimes hard people are hard because they've had it hard. The way has made them hard. And she didn't have no joy. She didn't want to really talk. She didn't want to just gruff and hard. And back last year, there was a man that died. He was a good Christian man. I knew him, and there's some folks in my church that was kind of kin in the family, and they were having a graveside service over in Butler. And I said, well, I'm going to go over there to the graveside. Brother Johnny Ray Pierce's graveside service over there. And I stand there waiting that day for the service to start. And the couple from my church was standing there next to me, and there was a lady standing over on this side, and I was just looking around. I knew a few people there. And as I was standing there, this lady from my church, she looked at me, and she pointed to the lady standing next to me. And I looked, and I couldn't tell the way she was standing who it was. And I turned back around to this lady. I said, who is it? And she said, it's your cousin, Sandra. I didn't even recognize. She's standing there, and she was right next to me, almost arm's length. And when she told me that, I just stepped over, and I looked at her. I said, Sandra, I didn't even know you. And it took her just a minute to recognize me. She said, well, Leonard, I didn't know you either. And you know what the next words out of her mouth was? All of a sudden, tears welled up in her eyes. And she said, Leonard, I got saved. I got saved. She said, I got saved, Leonard. I got saved. Let me tell you something. God had been working in her. On the surface, you couldn't see nothing. On the surface, you saw there's no hope there. On the surface, you said there's no reason to even try. But I'm here to tell you, I'm glad that in the sadness of dark days that we serve a God not only is watching us, he's walking with us, and he's working in us. Hallelujah to his name. You may have a loved one tonight. They seem so hard. They seem so distant. But you don't understand. God may be working in them tonight in a way that you can't even see. Hallelujah to his name. She looked at me. She said, if I knew it had felt this good, I'd have got saved years ago. And she says what she told me. She said, I can't stop crying. And we stood there and cried. Me and her stood there and cried, rejoiced at a graveside. I said, hallelujah to his name. God's a working in people's lives. We just need to let him do his work. Jesus was watching them. He said, how is it you're so sad? Jesus was walking. And while he was walking, they said, ain't you been around here and seen what all's went on in this town? He said, what things? They talked about, well, they crucified this man. We thought he's the one that's going to redeem Israel. And then all of a sudden, the preacher of preachers began to expound the scriptures, starting at Moses. And he preached about, you know what? I believe we ought to preach about what Jesus preached about. He preached about himself. Amen. About himself. He didn't talk about nothing but himself. The Bible said God began to do a work. That's why when you get around folks, just give them as much of Jesus as you can and let God do the work. Hallelujah to his name. He was watching. He was walking. He was working. And then finally, he was waiting. The Bible said he went as though he would go farther. And them fellas said, hey, it's the day's far spent. Why don't you come in and sit with us and break bread with us? And the Bible said Jesus went in. They sat down, and he took the bread, and he blessed it and broke it. When you go to breaking bread with Jesus, your eyes are getting ready to get open. And the Bible said their eyes were open. Now, here's the mystery. Jesus then vanished out of their sight. I have a feeling it's kind of like this. Your flesh can't stand much of seeing Jesus like they was seeing him. And the Bible said that Jesus vanished out of their sight. But you see what it was doing all the time. He was waiting to reveal himself in a way to them that they'd never seen him. I wonder tonight if the Lord ain't waiting to reveal himself in a way through the situations we're in right now like we've never seen him before. I hear people say, boy, we sure have. It's been tough, but we come through this thing. I don't know where he got your information at. I'm not sure we're through it. I'm not even sure we're a quarter way through it yet. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know how difficult it may get from here. I don't know, but I do know this, that the Lord may just be waiting to reveal himself to his people in a way that we ain't ever seen him before. He may be getting ready to reveal his power to our churches in a way that we've never experienced it before. He may even be getting ready to break some bread for us and give it to us because it's so high we can't afford it.
Amen.
He may be getting ready to meet your needs in a way that you didn't understand how it's going to happen. And you said, ain't nothing here. And boy, I tell you, all of a sudden, God sustains you once again, day by day. I'm here to tell you, no matter how dark the day is, how sad your heart is, I'm glad he's a God. He's a watching, he's a walking, he's a working, and he's a waiting, hallelujah, to step in and show himself to you. Bible said after he vanished, they said, can you believe we didn't know it was him? Now you think that them people at the tombs got a story to tell. They got down there and there ain't nobody there. There's two men dressed in white, said, he's not here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. That's a story to tell right there. But when you're the crowd that's walked with him all the way to the house, didn't even know it was him, listened to him preach, and he's broke bread with you, and now all of a sudden, and you ain't going to believe when he broke that bread what happened. I can hear him telling that story. You ain't going to believe. We can't even describe. We saw him in a way we'd never seen him before. We can't describe it. Can't put it in words. Can I say to you, God's going to help us. He wants to help us in the sadness of dark days. Father, thank you for what you've done for us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good liberty to preach. I pray, Father, that you take the message to the hearts of this people. Lord, thank you for just once again being able to fellowship in this place. This good pastor, Lord, I pray now in the time of invitation, Lord, as they come to get a song to play, whatever, Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight, that they would, you do business in the heart of your people. God, would you help us by your marvelous grace? Lord, there may be somebody over here tonight that's overwhelmed in mind. Lord, it's easy to get that way in these days. There may be a confusion that's set in. There may be in a fog, so to speak. Lord, they just don't know. Lord, they may be walking and it seems like you're a million miles away, but God, you've drawn near and they don't even recognize it. Father, would you help them to see that you love them tonight? Would you help us tonight? Lord, that you'd reveal some things to us, Lord, in a way that only you can. And Father, we're going to give you praise for what you do in Jesus' name. Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed. As he plays, whatever he's going to do, sing. I want to ask you now, has God spoken to your heart tonight? Is there something you need to bring to him? Maybe you need to bring some of your cares to him tonight, some of your burdens. You may be overwhelmed. Oh, yes. Just come on, obey the Lord tonight. If he's speaking to you, let him help you. Oh, yes. Obey God tonight. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You're here tonight, you don't know the Lord, you can tonight. You can. If you need to be born again, you can be saved tonight. If you'll come and trust him tonight. Some of you said, I don't know how I'm going to make it in the days ahead. I'll tell you how you're going to make it. Just like these disciples did. You're going to trust him. He's going to walk with you. He's going to show you what you need to know. He's going to help you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to be with you through everything this life throws at you. He's going to be with you. I wonder, somebody else tonight? Oh, yes. Obey God tonight. Oh, yes. As he's speaking to you, you do business with God tonight. Is there anybody tonight you say, preacher, I need prayer. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that tonight, lift your hand. I see that. Thank you. Anybody else say, preacher, would you pray for me tonight? Anybody else, lift your hand. I see that. Thank you. Thank you. I see that. God bless you. Anybody else, raise your hand. Take it right back down. I see that. God bless you. Anybody else tonight? Is there somebody here you say, preacher, I'm just not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I'm a Christian, preacher. I want to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? Say, preacher, I sure do want to be saved. Anybody? You'd be honest with God, honest with yourself. Lift your hand. Say, pray for me, preacher. Anybody like that? Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done for us. We thank you for how you've helped us. God, I pray that you take these simple little thoughts tonight that I've brought before this people. God, may they take it home with them. Lord, when they get out there and they're weary and overwhelmed and confused, Lord, would you let them know, remind them that you're watching. Lord, remind them that you're walking with them. And Lord, remind them that you're working in them. And God, you're waiting at that moment that they need you the most. Father, I ask you that you just meet every need now that we have. Bless this congregation, this dear man of God. Lord, we thank you so much for him and his family. And I pray, God, that you'd help us now in these days. Stir us, God. Refresh us, revive us, I pray. God, we're going to give you praise for all you